Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri and Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, July 23rd, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Local Government Minister Ignatius Chombo says his ministry has completed drafting a bill for the establishment of provincial council as enshrined in Zimbabwe's new constitution.
Critical to note is that the draft local authorities bill seeks to harmonize the Urban Councils Act and the Rural District Councils Act. They say the three draft bills are now ready for the process of extensive consultation with all the relevant stakeholders.
Britain has appointed a new ambassador to Zimbabwe to succeed Deborah Bronett, who will be transferring to another diplomatic service appointment.
Like any country that is trying to cultivate good relations with Zimbabwe, this is not surprising. We have always expected the British to want to engage with the ZANU-PF government.
And some Zimbabweans stage a street protest in Harare, saying they are worried about the massacre of innocent civilians in Palestine. Local Government Minister Ignatius Chombo says his ministry has completed drafting a bill for the establishment of provincial councils as enshrined in Zimbabwe's new constitution. Chombo told a parliamentary committee today that the document will be discussed by cabinet before being tabled by parliament. He said the government is reforming all rural, urban and related bylaws in order to ensure that they are in line with provisions of the country's constitution.
The ministry has so far produced the three layman drafts of the local authorities bill, provincial and the metropolitan council's administration bill, and the traditional leaders amendment bill. Critical to note is that the draft local authorities bill seeks to harmonize the Urban Councils Act and the Rural District Councils Act. They say the three draft bills are now ready for the process of extensive consultation with all the relevant stakeholders.
Under the new constitution, Zimbabwe is expected to establish provincial councils as a way of devolving power to the country's regions. Chombo also noted that the government will go ahead with the demolition of illegally built structures in Chitungwiza and Manyame as it has obtained the necessary court papers.
And for those illegal occupiers in places which cannot be regularized, such as those under electricity pylons, water and sewer lines, they would be allocated stands elsewhere at alternative sites. And Their structures would be obviously demolished, and they would be demolished at their cost, not at the cost of the red pairs.
The structures were allegedly built by settlers who bought land from corrupt so-called landowners and politicians. Controversial lawmaker Joseph Chinotimba of ZANU-PF attacked Chombo, saying he wants to demolish the people's houses after politicians solicited for some votes from the same inhabitants in 2013 election won by President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party. But Chombo hit back, saying all rural and urban dwellers should only build houses in designated areas. Britain has appointed Catriona Wendy Campbell-Lang as the new ambassador to Zimbabwe to succeed Deborah Bronett, who will be transferring to another diplomatic service appointment. Mrs. Lang will take up her appointment in September 2014. Lang is an economist and has spent much of her career in Africa, serving in Botswana, Kenya, Sudan and Somalia. Lang has been quoted as saying she's delighted to have been appointed as British ambassador to Zimbabwe. She said it is a great privilege to have the opportunity to work with Zimbabwe on issues of importance to both countries and to continue to deepen our partnership. Ties between Zimbabwe and former colonial power Britain have been strained for decades. Harare blames London for influencing fellow European nations to impose targeted sanctions on it after it redistributed land to blacks. But Britain blames the ruling ZANU-PF party of gross human rights abuses and holding what it calls sham elections. But confronted with a deepening economic crisis, ZANU-PF is looking at ways of mending ties with Western capitals, London in particular. Former Zimbabwean diplomat in Ethiopia, Clifford Mashiri, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that ties between Britain and Zimbabwe are still work in progress.
Like any country that is trying to cultivate good relations with Zimbabwe, this is not surprising. We have always expected the British to want to engage with the ZANU-PF government, and they have been showing that, you know, in recent days. We have also seen through their, you know, communications, those which have been published, they have tried to avoid any hostilities or, you know, conflict between the two countries.
But Mr. Mugabe has not stopped attacking Britain and the West, if his recent speeches are anything to go by.
Yeah, that's quite true. That's correct. That Mr. Mugabe is not, you know, restrained in, you know, from opposing or criticizing, you know, the West, in particular the United Kingdom. He has just been saying the United Kingdom is asking for help looking after it, after the Zimbabweans who did not get asylum here. I'm not going to help them. They can keep them there. It just shows, you know, according to Mugabe, the relations are not any better. They are still as bad as they were then, and probably he wants that to remain like that.
That was international relations expert Clifford Mashiri, a former Zimbabwean diplomat in Ethiopia, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Britain. Some Zimbabweans staged street protests in Harare today, saying they are worried about the massacre of innocent civilians in Palestine. The Friends of Palestine Solidarity Movement urged the world to denounce Israel for what it said is the cold-blooded murder of unarmed civilians, including women and children. The chairman of the organization, Tawanda Makore, told the protesters that all Zimbabweans should stand up against the Israeli action and Harare should expel its ambassador from the country if the war is not stopped.
We are asking our parliament, we are asking our civil society, we are asking everyone concerned to sign our petition, which is demanding immediate and unconditional expulsion of the Israel ambassador here.
And that was Tawanda Makore of the Friends of Palestine Solidarity Movement speaking at a street protest in Harare. Over 600 Palestinians and more than 30 Israelis have been killed in the war, which started a few weeks ago, leading to the weekend invasion of Gaza by Israeli soldiers. Zimbabwe and Palestine enjoy cordial relations back dating to the 1970s liberation struggle against the Ian Douglas Smith regime. Labour Minister Nicholas Goche today met with the representatives of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions and the Employers Confederation of Zimbabwe to discuss labour law reforms and the legalisation of the tripartite negotiating forum. ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo says they failed to agree on some of the issues in the labour law, and as a result they've set up a three-member subcommittee that will review the areas they have differed on before tabling them in a TNF principals meeting next Monday. He tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that what will be agreed by the principals is expected to be taken to cabinet for deliberation.
We seem to have different views on the labor law reform, especially on issues to do with retrenchment. We believe in the principle of dialogue, that when it comes to separation, when it comes to retrenchment, the current legislation allows for people to to discuss what type of packages should be paid. But the other parties seem to favor a situation where the law is specific on what to be paid when there is a retrenchment exercise.
What else was discussed at this meeting, Mr. Mwe?
The other issues I think we agreed is to streamline the requirements on collective job action, to streamline the regulations regarding the powers of the minister, to streamline the powers relating to the powers of the minister over the NECs. These are the National Employment Councils, the right of workers to organize. So it's a host of issues we discussed on the labor law reform.
That was Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Union Secretary General Japhet Moyo speaking to Studio 7 from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
An informal traders group has criticized the Zimbabwe Revenue Authority, or ZIMRA, for compelling vendors and informal merchants to pay tax in a desperate move to raise cash for the broke ZANU-PF government. ZIMRA has been doing the rounds in the country ordering informal traders to register so they can start paying tax. But Edward Manning of the Zimbabwe Chamber of Informal Economy Association tells Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo vendors will not heed the call simply because they do not have the money.
It doesn't come as a surprise to me because governments who ZIMRA are part of are now scraping the barrel. They have no other place to. They've searched every area, commerce and industry, fields everywhere, and now they come into the informal sector. But how do they tax the informal sector when they do not recognize the informal sector? It is alleged in the informal sector there is 7 billion. But if you add up the people who are trading, how many millions of people, and you divide amongst that the people, you find it next to nothing. Because probably that man needs that for transport from home to his workplace and back. And then he needs it for lunch and other necessities like bread for the children, his rent, etc. So I think the government now, they don't know where to search, and they now come into the informal sector, and I don't think they're going to find it because the informal sector is very hard to get anything out of it. I work with the people on the ground, and I'm just watching people here. Any minute, this man can just start grabbing his things and running across because the police chasing after them. And these are the same people, the government now, because it has no money, it has no plans.
That was Zimbabwe Chamber of Informal Economy Association official Edward Manning on the line with Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo from Bulawayo. Meanwhile, former finance minister and secretary general of an MDCT offshoot calling itself MDC Renewal Team, Tendai Biti, today called for the convening of an all-stakeholders conference in a bid to address the country's worsening economic problems.
Because we will now be able to borrow money cheaply, or in terms of grants from the World Bank, from the African Development Bank, Zimbabwe needs to set up a construction fund of $15 billion to deal with the gross capital formation and the infrastructure deficit in the country. We all know the deficit situation regarding the infrastructure in Zimbabwe.
Biti also urged Zimbabwe to abandon the use of the U.S. currency and move towards the use of the South African rand and join the rand monetary union.
We do not have an economy that can sustain the value of the U.S. dollar. But we do not believe that bringing back the Zimbabwean dollar is the solution. We know that there are strong calls for the reintroduction of the Zimbabwean dollar. Bringing the Zimbabwean dollar back into this economy will be catastrophic and will be failure. What we propose is that the U.S. dollar should be devalued by adopting the rand as the official currency in Zimbabwe. And if you are going to bring back the rand, you might as well just join the rand monetary union so that you can enjoy the benefits of seniorage.
The former finance minister further called for the unconditional re-engagement with the international community, especially SADC, the EU, China, UK and America, among other countries, saying Zimbabwe's economy cannot thrive in isolation. The Zimbabwe economy has been declining following last year's general election, won resoundingly by President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party. At the same time, Zimbabwe police have reportedly summoned Information Minister Jonathan Moyo to Harare Central tomorrow morning, where he's expected to be interrogated over the shadowy Facebook character Baba Jugwa. Police spokesperson Charity Charamba refused to comment on this matter, although detectives close to the investigations say the minister confirmed that he will present himself early tomorrow morning. The executive director of the Southern Africa HIV and AIDS Information Dissemination Service, or SAFAIDS, Lois Jingandu, says high on the agenda of the 20th edition of the AIDS conference in Melbourne today was the issue of combating stigma for those living with HIV/AIDS. Jingandu noted that researchers were also presenting their latest findings on the cure for HIV/AIDS. Jingandu speaks to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyua Huye about today's events at the AIDS conference in Australia.
There's a very intense discussion around attempts to find a cure for HIV, because we all acknowledge that even though we are able to put people on treatment, these are very expensive programs. And therefore, the scientists have been in serious discussions around how they can move forward to find a cure for HIV.
And also we heard that there were some programs that Zimbabwe has been hailed for at this conference. What are some of these programs that Zimbabwe is doing to fight the transmission of HIV and AIDS that are being viewed as being successful at the moment?
One of the key programs where Zimbabwe has been very successful is the mother-to-child transmission. Although it is universally understood that the mother-to-child transmission should be the easiest program to achieve, we are finding that in Zimbabwe, we are doing very well. We are around 98%, but we are not yet there. We should be achieving 100%. However, it is a bit difficult for us to achieve 100% because not every one of our mothers who is pregnant is coming to the clinic to register. So when a pregnant woman doesn't register, then they are not to access the PMTCT treatment. And secondly, we also find that sometimes once a mother is delivered in the clinic and then they go home, they don't come back for the 6 week postnatal clinic. And again, then we need to test the child to ensure that they are also put on treatment. However, we are doing very well. We are moving with the rest of the world. We are also now on option B plus. We are even going to option B plus M, which means putting the mother, the child, and the father on treatment.
That was Executive Director of the Southern Africa HIV and AIDS Information Dissemination Service, or SAFAIDS, Lois Jingandu, speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyua Huye from Melbourne, Australia. Coming up, a closer look at how Muslims eat, dress, and conduct themselves. But first, we take a look at regional and international news. Dozens are believed to be dead following the crash of a Trans-Asia Airways flight in Taiwan. Authorities say 47 people are trapped in the wreckage and presumed dead on an island between the Chinese mainland and Taiwan. An attack on the Gaza city of Khan Yunis has killed at least 7 Palestinians, with local health ministry officials placing the death toll as high as 18 across Gaza today. And the Ukrainian Defense Ministry says 2 of its military fighter jets have been shot down in eastern Ukraine. A spokesman for the defense ministry said today that the planes were shot down in Savu Mogila. Mm-hmm. Muslims dress, eat, and conduct themselves in various ways. Sometimes women cover their faces as part of the Muslim culture. And before eating meat, one has to follow certain cultural norms. In this last edition of a three-part series on the holy month of Ramadan and Muslim culture, our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi digs deep into the Islamic culture.
The chairperson of the Supreme Council of Islamic Affairs in Zimbabwe, Ismail Duwa, says apart from worshipping Allah, they are also preoccupied by self-hygiene. While several governments worldwide are now embracing circumcision in the fight against HIV and AIDS, although not 100%, Duwa says circumcision is another way that was adopted long back by the Islamic community to preserve cleanliness among men and women.
From since we started, because Abraham was circumcised, so my Muslims have been doing the circumcision when a child is about 3 years. And the other nations were not doing that. But now you would find that everybody now, but we were doing that, including my culture of Yao, which they called Chinamari, going to Jando. 3 weeks people there, 1 month people there. And we were doing this. But today it's coming indirect now. That Kujando, they ndawa smart, but we've been doing this. So that is a responding indirectly, although it's the same thing. And even this fasting, you could find Maposto and others, they are fasting.
Another Muslim worshipper, Ibrahim Khan, says some body parts should not be visible, hence both men and women are required to wear specific gear.
We have got parts that are not supposed to be exposed. And that principle follows you even if you go to school. The parents of a Muslim child would apply for that exemption. They'll say, no, my child is Islam, so you will exempt her from participating in such sports. But definitely, you cannot say, I hold to this principle, but for these 10 minutes, I'll jump and have shorts and this. We hold the principles to the right end of everything. The male side, we have also parts which we cover. From the ankle to the shoulders, we are not supposed to expose it. So it also goes to the guys that they shouldn't wear shorts. They should wear everything. They should be long. At least for guys, it's better because they'll be wearing maybe tracksuits. So it covers them a lot. It's not like it looks on one other side. No. It goes all to men because men hold. To men, it shows no difference because they'll be wearing maybe tracksuits.
On marriage, Duwa says Islamic men are allowed to marry one woman but can engage in polygamy under certain circumstances.
For example, if you make a wedding with a woman, you will be told that until the death we won't depart. Then let's say you say no, it's only one wife. Then that woman makes an accident whereby you cannot even use in washing plates, on bearing children and so forth. Are you going to divorce and marry another one and have one? When you say you don't divorce because it's disabled, you keep that one. Because of that reason, then you marry another one who keep yourself and the wife. So it have got a reason. It's not a matter of a pressure.
He adds that at times, marriages are pre-arranged by elders in their communities, but this trend is fast changing.
Yeah, in fact, that is what is encouraged. But looking at the situation now, it's a very impossible thing. But that is the rule. Both traditionally and religiously, they should be virgin. But now looking at the situation, the circumstances nowadays, definitely you cannot find. Then what we encourage now, when be tested before you are married.
Another Muslim follower, Mohammed Mia, says it is their tradition not to eat meat of an animal that they would not have killed themselves.
Waremba would never eat meat from another person unless it was a Waremba who slaughtered the animal or the chicken. Right. Their burial was they never buried their people in boxes, coffins. They always shrouded them, which was an Islamic custom. I understand that in the old days when the local people buried, they buried their people sitting upright in the grave. I'm not sure if I'm correct, but the Waremba did not accept that. Many of the Warembas have Muslim names like Bakari, Shazari, these are all Arabic this thing. But now, alhamdulillah, as I would say, many of them have come back to Islam, and we have many leaders. One of them is Professor Hamandishi, He's a prominent Waremba who's running a lot of schools, Islamic schools, near Maswingo, wherever the Waremba are. And the other one, we even have a lawyer, very prominent lawyer, Mr. Faroma. He's a Waremba, and he's now a very active Islamic worker.
Lecturer of Religious Studies at the University of Zimbabwe, Agnes Chiwara, argues that Muslims prefer living in secluded communities.
They are no longer regarded as aliens, in fact, like what they have been in the past. You would find that most of the Muslims could not even vote in the last elections. But for these elections, most of them, you know, exercise their right to vote.
Unlike in other countries where Muslims clash with other religious groups such as Christians, in Zimbabwe, the community interacts with people from different religions. Many Muslims in the country are engaged in various businesses in many sectors of the economy. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about the holy month of Ramadan and Muslim culture. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. A new research suggests that unhappy marriages produce more daughters, according to the New Republic. The magazine cites a new report that says the link between daughters and higher divorce rates is because female embryos are harder in the womb and can survive a stressful pregnancy better than their male counterparts. Remember, listeners, to send us your text messages and tell us how we are doing right here on Studio 7. And remember, the number that you can send these text messages is 202-465-0318.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. Did you know you can listen to web audio replays of our programs on our website and sign up for newsletters in English, Shona and Ndebele?
Visit our site at www.studio7news.com. You can also give us feedback by text message. Our number is 1-202-465-0318.
Now to recap today's top stories. Local Government Minister Ignatius Chombo says his ministry has completed drafting a bill for the establishment of provincial councils as enshrined in Zimbabwe's new constitution. Britain has appointed Catriona Wendy Campbell Lang as the new ambassador to Zimbabwe to succeed Deborah Bronet, who will be transferring to another diplomatic service appointment. And some Zimbabweans today staged street protests in Harare.